Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
I, Ketanji Brown Jackson,
do solemnly swear,
that
I will administer justice, without respect to persons, and do equal right, to the poor and to the rich,
That was just a piece of what we heard during a historic day yesterday. That was retiring Justice Stephen Breyer administering the judicial oath to Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. Ketanji Brown Jackson is now the 116th Justice of the Supreme Court and the first Black woman to serve on the highest court in the land. While she has been sworn in, we should note that the court is now out of session, and she will formally join the Supreme Court in the fall. In her remarks, Jackson noted that it had taken 232 years and 115 prior appointments for a Black woman to take the bench. Joining us now to unpack this moment, we have friend of the show and Boston Globe senior opinion writer and columnist, Kimberly Atkins-Storr. Kimberly, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carrie. Good to be with you.
First, can you just reflect on this moment? What are your thoughts right now?
Yeah, it's really momentous. I mean, for the highest court in our nation to better reflect what America looks like, since they are making many consequential decisions that affect us all, I think is really important. Certainly, as a Black woman myself who went to law school and didn't have someone like Justice Jackson as a model, as an example of what was possible, I feel grateful that she is there now, and for all of the young people who are looking up and do have that as an inspiration, not just for Black and brown folks, but for everyone to see this is what success looks like in the legal field and in America.
So I think you make a really great point. Her appointment is very historic for a lot of reasons, but she's not actually going to change the political makeup on the court, right? So can you describe what her presence will change?
Yes. So now this is still a 6-3 court, by and large, that leans toward the conservative side. There are three Democratic appointees. She's one of them, and six Republican appointees. But what so in her actual job, she will mostly, when there is a highly contentious issue, she will likely be in the minority, and her opinions, if she writes them, will be dissents. Dissents are for the future, as the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg would say, and sometimes they can have an impact. You know, Ginsburg wrote a dissent in an equal pay case that ended that caused Congress to act, and it was the first act that was signed into law by President Obama, making it easier for women to sue if they are underpaid per their male counterparts. So it can have an impact. But it will be, in terms of the rulings themselves, it'll be less. Of course, her own presence, her own experiences as the justices discuss and deliberate these questions will be important. She does have that different perspective than others. So there will be some impact there. But yes, she will more likely than not be in the minority in most of the decisions.
Now, there are some Boston ties to talk about here. There are Boston ties to Breyer and Ketanji Brown Jackson. So, Kimberly, I want to ask you, too, when you went to law school and you got your master's in journalism right here at BU, you practiced law here before you turned to journalism. Can you reflect a little bit about your experience being a Black lawyer and a woman in Boston? How did that shape you, and how do you think that's going to shape Justice Jackson?
You know, during her confirmation hearing, she recounted a story when she was on campus at Harvard as a student, having been there growing up in Florida, and how different it felt from anything that was recognizable to her in so many ways, and that it must have shown on her face because another Black woman passed her and just whispered to her, "Persevere." And she understood exactly what she was saying. And I understood that, too. I very rarely saw another lawyer of color when I was practicing law in Boston in the 90s. I was one of seven black people in a class of 400 in my law school. So I know how that feels to be one of the few, one of the only in those spaces. And so I think that that certainly, she talked about it in a way that certainly reflected that that had a big impact on her understanding of the way the country can feel, certainly in those spaces. Right now, she's the only black woman who has ever been on the Supreme Court. So in that way, she is prepared for that. But also, as I said, she brings that different view, that different perspective that is so important, that reflects millions of others in America who've had experiences similar to hers.
And as we mentioned, too, Justice Breyer also has Boston connections. He went to Harvard, taught at Harvard. He was a judge around here, and he lives in Cambridge. So how do you think all of these local connections and experiences impacted the way he served in the court?
Well, you know, I think it has an impact. Sometimes it's direct. You know, he was the writer of an opinion over the challenge to Boston's decision to allow people to raise flags on City Hall Plaza. And he described the whole scene very well, probably from memory, right? Because it's a place that's very familiar to him. And certainly, I think for him and all the justices, their backgrounds, where they come from, is important to how they understand the world. You know, he's a coastal guy. He's from California, but as you said, spent a great deal of time on the East Coast in Boston. You have other justices that are from more of the center part of the country, like Neil Gorsuch or Amy Coney Barrett. And all of those things come to bear in their understanding about how decisions will impact people. And so I think having that diversity of geography, which the court hasn't already had, it was very coastal for a very long period of time. It's only in recent years that you've had that increased diversity, including Justice Jackson, who is from Florida. There was no other justice from Florida. So all of these things come to bear in some way or another.
You know, it kind of feels like the eyes of, average people, they're on the Supreme Court in a really intense way right now. There was strong public opposition to both the recent overturning of Roe and the way the court came down on the question around concealed carry. The PBS NewsHour reported that nearly 6 in 10 Americans polled thought that the Roe decision was based on politics more than the law. And even a Gallup poll said that only 25% of Americans have confidence in the Supreme Court right now, which is the lowest in 50 years. So, Kimberly, do you think these partisan feelings that are coming out right now, do you think that could impact the Supreme Court's legitimacy?
Yeah, I think it very well could. I mean, the Supreme Court is supposed to operate apolitically, and it is not supposed to be swayed by public opinion. But of course, public opinion is important for people to have faith and trust in the work of the court and belief in that their decisions are just. And I do think that when the perception even of partisanship, of ideological work, is when the court has that perception, it really is harmful to it. I think a lot of times you see people, including the Chief Justice, Chief Justice John Roberts tried often to build as much consensus as he could, not only just so that each ruling, the more consensus it has, the more power it carries, but also to protect the institution of the court. I think increasingly we are seeing he's not able to do that. You're seeing the partisan lines on the court being drawn more starkly, the same way they seem to be drawn across the country, which can't, I don't blame people for really wondering if the court has been affected with the same kind of politics as other Washington institutions.
All right. That was friend of the show and Boston Globe columnist Kimberly Atkins-Storr. Kimberly, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.